Hey, hello, hello, everybody, and welcome to this week's call on Buddhas and Butterflies. We're working with round five, and we're transforming worry into its healthy role. And worry does some beautiful things for us. We just don't usually relate to it as such. So worry is very much about, I think of it is more like a mental body emotion, but it can be physiological as well. And we typically relate to it more of a mental body emotion because it does more directly relate to thought. And when we have clarity in our thoughts, that's worry energy working really well for us. When we have confusion in our thoughts, that's a sign that we actually need to slow down. We need to give it some time. We need to give it some space. And just like the earth, who is in no rush to get wherever she is going in any stage of the seasonalities, as we were discussing earlier, there's time, there's space for it all to happen and unfold in right timing. So, in the realm of the earth element, which is where worry is associated, it's working through the spleen and the stomach, which tend to govern the neck a fair bit. So, I'm curious to see what's coming up in our session today. Just give a little bit of a recap. I know transforming emotions into energy may have been some months ago. So, there's your quickie recap of the emotion of worry. So I'm going to invite us to get comfy cozy if you haven't already. Make any shimmy shakes, tremors, twitches on purpose. You might even like let yourself wiggle woggle and get kind of big about it. And just like get any sort of like agitation essentially met. Letting your body know that it's welcome to continue to move throughout the session. But sometimes we come to these things and we think that we have to hold still. And that can flash us back all the way to school. Or church or wherever, we were told we had to sit a certain way and act a certain way and hold our body a certain way because that's what you do in these spaces. And for the most part, that's actually asking little ones to override their natural rhythms, their natural patterns, which is to move and to learn and to embrace curiosity and to explore in this world, to have an adventure, is like the heart's longing. And that slowly dissipates in part because we train it out and we. So you can't do that if you're gonna, go to school or hold down a job or et cetera. So there's something in here. Anytime I invite you to get, comfy, it's actually meaning to invite yourself into a state of welcoming your movement, your pattern, your rhythm, in a way that may begin to challenge the how it is you were told you had to be in your body. So I invite you to forgive my belaboring that point. I'm going to invite you to literally just welcome that and know that you are welcome to continue to move as much as you like throughout the session. And that cue is really just to interrupt any old patterns that you may have thought that, okay, I'm doing this now, I'm going to hold still. And stillness is a beautiful thing too. So if that's serving you really well and you're completely at peace and contentment within your stillness, feel free to embrace it as such. If there's any sense of like, I'm doing this because I should or because I'm told to, or I don't really want to and I want to move, then and we force ourselves to hold still, we actually start to imbue ourselves with stagnant energy. And this season of spring is when we're meant to come out of that stagnation in particular. So that's in part also why I'm belaboring these points right now. And as we move towards releasing stagnant energy and we embrace the energy of movement, I'm going to invite you to again stretch, shake, shimmy, move. You might even get really big about it. You might just like, oh, on purpose exaggerate it to interrupt any old programs or signals that are likely held quite unconsciously. You're probably on autopilot around most of us to be met. And you're welcome to do that as much as you like through this next hour. And as you get comfy for you, whatever that looks like for you. Feel free to take full advantage of that. We're all on Zoom and you've got all your cameras off, so you get to really go for gold here and honor whatever movement is calling you. I invite you to focus amongst it all on your breath. Every inhale becomes an opportunity to call in, to receive. To drink in life. Every exhale, an opportunity to release. to let go, to make space, to allow. And every breath, an opportunity to sink a little deeper into that cushion below you. And if any part of that is pleasant, even neutral, taking time to savor it. Don't let yourself be in a place where you might even invite even more of that in by means of savoring. There's something about that appreciation that calls in even more of the same. And on that note, I'm going to invite you to take time, eyes open or closed, whatever feels right for you, to look internally or externally with eyes open, and let your senses go for a bit of a walk around those spaces. And as you let your senses go for a walk around your spaces, looking in all directions and just drinking in your environment, almost like it's the first time you've connected to it or seen it for a while. Yeah, and just take in the beauty that's there. And then as you do that, I'm going to invite you to light your gaze not on one thing in particular that feels pleasant to be with. And as you drink it in, savoring it, appreciating it, and noticing all the elements of it that you like the most, whether that's the shape, the color, the size, what it means to you. Maybe it's the way the light and the shadow dance with it. And as you drink that all in, noticing how the body responds. And savoring that too. Any parts of that that are pleasant, allowing yourself to savor that as well. And amongst all of that, I'm going to offer these words. Thank you for the opportunity to gather here today. And thank you to all that's gone into this sweet moment of connection. Thank you to the families that created you. Thank you to the ancestors that held the families and created them. And thank you to the lineage that stewarded all of that. And the deepest of gratitude to those that have caretaken these lands that have nourished us all. To those that have come before and those yet to arrive. Thank you. And thank you to this earth for holding us, the sky above giving us space, the green of the earth, the blue of the sky, held sandwiching us in what it is to be alive and have room to grow. And thank you to the fire that purifies us, connecting us to source, to spirit, to the beyond, to the mystery, where we need not know, and somehow we get to lie in perfect rest. And thank you to the water that carries our emotions and our consciousness, reminding us to be fluid alike across all of those landscapes, allowing us to move beyond our preconceived borders and edges, allowing us to trickle into new spaces, new crevices, new niches of understanding, of awarenesses, of thought processes that invite in some relief. Thank you. and blessings on your session today. Om Shanti Shanti Shanti. Peace, peace, peace. As we start off today's session, I'm seeing three different colors, yellow, black, and green. And it reminds me of very like earthy colors, like the black of the earth, the yellow of the sand, and the green of plants and in life. I'm just seeing these three colors. For whatever reason, I think they're prominent on certain flag colors, which are also crossing my mind, but I'm not very good with geography, so I'm not quite confident enough to say that out loud. But whatever, you know, those color schemes mean for you, I'm going to invite you to just let that gently float through your landscape of your mind, allowing for it to imbue you with any information, even if you're not sure exactly what it means. And as those colors come into play, I actually see it connecting through to the right side of the lower body. So hip, knee, ankle, foot, the entire leg. And I see it as lending strength, connecting as the earth carries a stillness, a slower energy vibration to it. Allows for things to become more solid and more materialized. On the right side, the masculine side, is very much about making things material. So it's a good side to having connection to the earth. And I also have the sense that this is preparatory for whatever it is your intention is for this journey, granting you solidity, stability, a way to move forward with grace, with intrigue, with curiosity, with I don't even know precisely where this is going to go, but I'm here for the adventure. I'm here for the journey of it. I'm saying yes. I'm saying yes. Even though I might be kind of scared, even though I might be kind of worried or anxious, even though I might even feel a bit of overwhelm, I still somehow have enough resources here to say yes to wherever this is headed. And then I see the kidneys on the left side pop up. I see the fear, and the left side, or feminine side, or yin, also has our history. So it carries all the reasons, logical and illogical alike, around why things, you know, might be a good idea or not be a good idea. And right now we're working with a piece that says, you know, I don't know if I should move forward. I don't know if I should go do that thing. I don't know if that's going to, you know, work out really well. I should definitely just pause and stop and think some more. And for that left hip, leg, knee, ankle, all of it, there's a sense of stagnancy, a sense of being stuck in the old, stuck in muddy history. Almost like a leg stuck in, not quite quicksand, but something between quicksand and mud might be. It's got a really, like, soggy feel to it. And within that, there's a fair amount of depression, grief, overwhelm, and an expectation of abandonment, which all led to almost like the awareness of, well, if no one else is going to do that and I have to do it on my own because no one's going to show up to help me with that, then that's fine. I'll figure it out and I'll do it. I may not be happy about it, but at least I'll make it through. And I cultivated ultimately, as you might be hearing in that story, a sense of over-independence, hyper-independence, one might even say. And it created a desire to over-function. And with it, a sense of almost like being really proud of being able to make your way through those things to the point where you might even be a little bit cocky, arrogant, high and mighty could be in here. But there's this idea of being better than or being one up than somebody else. And as you release that through this left side, releasing it through all the minor chakras of the hip, the knee, the foot, well, the ankle foot. And then to balance that out, we're going to release from the right arm, which sort of counterbalances that, going into the shoulder, elbow, wrist, hand, those minor chakras. Running a cellular repair restoring them back to their fullest potential of health. And it's around the theme of how it is you're carrying yourself and how it is you're expressing yourself and releasing any stagnancy and how it is you've been doing both of those things, carrying yourself and expressing yourself. Okay, interesting. So as that unwinds, we're going to take all of the counterparts to the right shoulder minor chakra, to the left hip minor chakra, right elbow to left knee, right wrist ankle to left foot. Right, sorry, wrist hand, there we go, to left foot ankle. Okay. And as we work with overlaying this in such a way, I actually now see the left shoulder, elbow, hand, wrist, much like that right side gained strength, or we started that off with the right leg. This left arm begins to actually also become alive and what it can open to receive. It's like as we gain confidence in that right arm doing its thing, the left side begins to be able to go, okay, I don't actually have to work so hard to protect. I can actually let my hair down, I can open up, and I can actually drink in what's here. Because the right side's taking care of it for me. The right side's going to take that action. The right side's there to produce the results, to be in the flow of moving, which allows for the left side to come to a deeper sense of stillness, opening up to being able to take in more of this life, this world, whatever it is you're calling in, whatever it is you're manifesting in your world right now. In the center of all of this around the navel, there's really strong, I'm going to say will, almost to the point of like pathologically avoiding demands. It's like there's a sense of like, oh, you want me to drink water? Screw you, I'm not going to. I'm going to hyper exaggerate this. Oh, you want me to do that? No, I don't think so. I'm going to find something wrong with that. I'm going to go do what I want. And as we release that will that's held fairly subconsciously, some of you might have it a bit more consciously. I see it as softening into remembering what it is to be invited and remembering what it is to offer an invitation. And just open yourselves up to considering possibilities of what it's like to be invited or to have an invitation come from you. Whether you're offering or receiving this invitation. We're actually releasing a fair amount of time, a stress around time for that didn't work out very well. And it led to a sense of like, hey, I actually shouldn't be myself. Like they're telling me they want me to be myself. They want me to be more of me. And when I offer that, they don't actually really want it. And they tell me to do something different. So it's like there's this sense of like rejection and a sense of confusion, a sense of deep anxiety provoking set of experiences around, well, then how am I ever supposed to win? How am I ever supposed to be in connection in a good way that creates ease? And the stress of that all is actually coming from the limbic brain, the basal ganglia, which in part relates to our movements. Excuse me, I have a bit of a tickle in my throat today. And as we work with this basal ganglia, we need to run hydration, helping the cells take in water, joy, release any impurities they know that no longer need to be here. These basal ganglia, we also need to connect them into just finding it. Yeah, it is. Okay, it's into the thalamus. Okay, so the thalamus is like our grand central station. It's like the sun of our brain. Nothing gets in or out of our entire head brain without going through the thalamus. For the most part, that's an overgeneralization. Smell does, it carries more immediate information. But you get the idea that for the vast majority of our experiences. Everything is going and getting filtered through the thalamus. And it's like there's this slowdown, which isn't allowing for the basal ganglia to process things that it does, things like habit formation, learning, but in like a conditioned way, like learning procedures, learning XYZ, as well as also like motor movements, all the way even into like how does your eyes move around. Could also relate to how it is we think and how we emote is in there as well. And then for this part, we're looking more like the physical side, more where there is like a little bit of almost like physiological even anxiety. And what I mean by that is the anxiety that comes from when you don't feel like you are strong enough. Most feminine essences have this. In our world, testosterone is 17 times higher in masculine forms. And those masculine forms don't even necessarily know that they're that much stronger, but the feminine knows. The feminine essence knows that. And the feminine essence automatically carries a sense of being on guard around that. This is deeply subconscious, although some of you might be able to relate to this in a more conscious way as I'm saying it out loud. And we're looking at that, basically that fear that comes from just being in physiological proximity to that. So not even bringing in the emotions, the past, the stories, but just this awareness of like, I'm not the strongest one on the scene in this particular regard, in the physical form. Physiological anxiety can show up when we don't have quite everything we need in our bodies. Like we don't have quite the right nutrition, we don't have quite the right amount of water or food. Just to give you a few ideas around what I mean by that term. Okay. And as we work with it in the physical form, we have to release both worry and sadness from the basal ganglia around all of this, as well as from the external lining of the thalamus that coats the entire thing. The thalamus has a lot of parts to it, but we're just going to keep it really simple and work with it in this way. And within all of this, there's actually enough intensity that it's causing strain around this physiological anxiety in the parts that are regulating our sleep, which is notably what's popping up right now, is the pineal gland, which regulates our circadian rhythm, as well as the pineal body, pardon me, perineal body, which I think I talked about last week, that diamond-shaped band of tissue that's in the pelvis, that it's in the center of the perineum. And then the, also the on-mian acupuncture points, which are in the back of the skull. There's two of them near the base, not quite at the bottom, maybe an inch or two up, just on either side of the skull. Very close to where like the big bumpies are, but just maybe up a little bit from them. And there's a sense here of like really deep exhaustion, but also not being able to rest. And again, it's just this constant physiological strain. So as we begin to address this even in a more deeper way, we're actually going to do a couple of things. We're going to look at running one more hydration, this time for all the impacted parts that I've named, along with running a Sidri on this. It's going to continue for the next 8 days, so just until after our next session. As a Sidri runs for all those parts that I've mentioned, we're going to bring in circulation of all the healing resources, blood that carries our passion, nerve our communication, lymph that drains our toxins, gunk, waste, low self-esteem, overthinking, overanalyzing, along with chi or vitality, consciousness or awareness, right down into all the little guys, electrons, protons, solitons, neutrons, working with the sounds, the colors, the frequencies of all the chakras, major and minor, endorphins, hormones, and endocannabinoids that lower inflammation, anxiety, depression, help the nervous system and the immune system alike to heal. They're going to also work with the balance of the feminine essence, the yin, that brings in nourishment, and the masculine essence, the yang, that brings in protection. And finding the right balance here. Because either which way, if we get too much of one versus the other, it creates something. It'll have a wide array of presentations and every human being based on their particular configurations. But it'll honestly boil down to the simplicity of it'll create a lack of ease in the system at some junction. So as we work with it to balance in this way, we're also going to connect pineal to pituitary to balance all things masculine and feminine. And we're going to link governing vessel one and conception vessel one at the perineum. And these are the beginning points. Governing is the masculine meridian that runs up the midline of the back body, carrying our primary masculine energy. The conception does the same in the front body, in the midline, carrying our feminine energy. And as we work with these two, they're meant to circulate within each other. And at certain points, one is considered to be more exterior, which points that I've named, the governing in the back, the conception in the front body. And then they circle as they reach almost like an oval type of circulation. They circle back down, held safely in the containment by the other. So the feminine essence, the conception vessel, as it comes back down, it's held in the back body with the governing at the exterior, armoring it. And same thing in the front body, the conception vessel is more exterior, creating a space, almost like a little soft space for the governing vessel to flow within and to be nourished. So they're meant to serve each other and they're meant to support each other in some really rich, deep ways. And when they flow really well, it creates a microcosmic orbit to support that. Microcosmic orbit just relating to a certain state of easeful flow, meaning there isn't any glitches between those two meridians and they're in good harmony. So to support that, we're going to do a couple of things. We're going to run switching, which helps to cope or deal with stress. We're going to link it into the sixth house, which is all about practical action, being in service to our bodies or minds, and doing it in a very Virgo-esque way, which means attentive to detail. And they I don't know, forgive me if you're a Virgo and I'm oversimplifying this, but like plans, lists, details, knowing, having structure is really important here. Having awareness and discernment in the form of intellect is important here. So we bring that in. We're also going to link that now into Venus, the planetary energy of harmony, of grace, of nourishment, of feminine. It's almost like if I had to give it an archetype, another archetypal energy, I might call it the Aphrodite of the planets. It carries like love and passion and desire and maybe even like some romance. Yeah. And interesting enough, we're connecting all of that into a particular cognitive behavioral pattern, which is that of rumination or having looping thoughts. And I think we've worked with this before in the last recent times, maybe a session or two, maybe three ago. And that looping, that rumination, it's almost like hammering in a message. It's like, I'm going to make sure you really understand this. After you get this repetitively, it'll actually support the deepening of the learning of this all for you. And often we get stuck in a place of like rumination or looping thoughts, and we think, this isn't good. I'm going to have some serious issues if this keeps happening. Or it can be uncomfortable in the sense that, like, I've already thought about that. Why am I revisiting it again? We were just here in short order. Or there might be a sense of, and it might not be in seconds, but it might be like, I just thought about that yesterday. Why am I still thinking about that? I already came to a peaceful plan with that. Why am I revisiting it? But anytime we are entering like looping or rumination, it's like there's the signal from the body going, I just want to get that. I want to really know it. I want to really learn that. I want to get it through repetition. Problem is, unless we do it playfully, it requires something like 300, 400 repetitions. If we can embrace it playfully, then we only need about 20 repetitions. So it could actually shorten the length of that. But if we're overly serious in our thought processes and not so lighthearted or playful, it creates just more agitation, stagnancy, hard work. So think of this as linking into the heart space now for that essence of lightheartedness and for the capacity to do it without such a heavy-handed, serious tonality to it. However it is you're cognitively processing your life, however it is your thought processes are happening, what happens if we can interject them with just a little bit of like, I won't necessarily say humor, although that could be in the mix, but just a sense of like, all right, I get that this is happening, and also, what if I could move my attention to that thing in my environment that I think is also kind of just really fun and playful and beautiful to be with? So I invite you to, much like we did the resourcing at the beginning of the sessions, and did it today as well, in that same way, just beginning to reorient your behavioral process around how it is you're actually using your cognition and beginning to repattern that, if that makes sense. So you're welcome to do that as much or as little as you like in the coming days. Consider this to be optional homework, so to speak. And then we're going to link all of that into the endocrine system as a whole, by taking particular attention into the pituitary, the pancreas, the thyroid, and the adrenals. Okay, so the pituitary, working with our feminine essence, balancing our hormones, the pancreas, bringing in the sweetness of life, the thyroid, bringing in your capacity to communicate about that sweetness of life. And doing it with a sense of feminine properties, whether that's a sense of grace, a sense of delight in a feminine way, or a sense of, oh, I'm kind of blanking here on some words, but a sense of just being able to be really gentle or fierce. Because the feminine can traverse a whole array of things, which might be why I was stumbling to come up with just one word, because they might even feel paradoxical when I say them out loud. But working within the realm of the feminine, I think you get the idea. And then for the adrenals, bringing in the sense of, interestingly enough, protecting the feminine essence. And it's like the adrenals have taken on, let's just let her rest or do whatever she needs to do. And I'll take on all the other stressors. I'll take on all the activity. I'll make everything else happen just so she can be taken care of. The story of the masculine and feminine is playing out internally, each inside of every one of us, regardless of being considered to be a female or a male, whatever gender we play. And as we work with this balance for the adrenals offering their protection, there's almost an over-rigidification of anticipation. Like there's an overly rigid anticipation, might be an easier way to say that, of what could go wrong, what might happen. Put it this way, the adrenals are not exactly risk-free. So they're risk-averse. They're the opposite. They're kind of worrying about all the different risks out there. There's just this sense of like, hey, well, that could go wrong, and this could go wrong, and this won't happen this way, and if I don't do it this way, then that's not going to work. And like, and it's very verklempt. You're actually going to run a cellular repair on the adrenals to better support all the other rest of the endocrines. This is actually including all of them. I know I didn't name them all because we were just paying particular close attention to those four that I mentioned. And as we support the adrenals, we're also going to unhook a bundle of belief systems. And it's the expectation of the feminine essence being misunderstood as crazy, neurotic, insane, nuts, just because it's different in our masculine, patriarchal culture, world, society, upbringing. conditioning, tonality of life. You get the idea. Okay, at the same time as that, running a body chemistry to support excessive inflammation coming up out of those patterns and releasing the intolerances as a whole, just working with intolerance of the other. So a masculine being intolerant of the feminine, or the feminine being intolerant of the masculine, which is keeping everything at bay of what they both actually want. And as we support the system, it's actually linking into your entire family dynamic and how they related to times of, I'm going to say hardship as a whole, but notably when health was on the line, when there was some sort of a health challenge. The panic, the worry, the anxiety, the, oh, we're going to pay attention now. And almost a sense at times of like, if you have foreseen around some of those corners that they didn't, a sense of like, yeah, I saw that coming. Yeah, I told you. Yeah, I know. Yes, it hurts. And almost a sense of like, if only they had listened, I could have helped them out with that. And within that, there's a small, and I'm so like the poster child for this one, I think, as well, a small bit of arrogance, a small bit of, I know better than you, one-upmanship. And although you might know other things than they do, that might not be their soul's purpose. That might not be their soul's journey to do it in the way that you would, or the way that you could, or the way that you've foreseen and let them know about. Especially working with the acceptance, those painful family dynamics where they actually end up in places of ill health, and you could contribute, you would have contributed. If they only they had listened, they wouldn't have been in here in the first place. Or now that they're here, the desire to be like, okay, let's offer you everything now because you're finally listening. And a desire to maybe overextend ourselves with caretaking and the wear and tear that can create. So it creates strain on you. It creates strain on them. And they might actually even consciously be asking for support in new ways than they ever have before, which may create space for more useful contributions for you to offer. And that's a beautiful thing. So honoring that, just taking out the strain amongst it all. Related to that, also working with the family dynamics, when not just ill health happens, but there's like the imminent passing, or there's like an imminent potential of somebody passing. And I don't know about you, but in our family, that's usually a time where we come together in different ways, sometimes more peacefully than other times. And there's a coming together, and there's like a standing in the awareness that something bigger than us is happening. Again, when we're doing this well, which is not always all that frequent, quite frankly. And there can be this time when we come together in that way to recognize that something bigger than us that's happening. It can actually create a bit of a portal, a bit of a sub-portal, as you've heard me use that term before, for everybody's to soften into a place of unity, into a place of recognizing that we're all equal, that we're all just these little teeny tiny humans, and acting in different ways to get our needs met. And there's an equalization or a leveling that can happen, which can begin to soften certain dynamics in certain ways at certain junctures. And then a longing for that to continue is often in my heart and maybe in yours as well. So, amongst all of that, all to say, pointing to those times in which there actually is a certain level of peace and harmony, even though it might be happening underneath circumstances that are not so desirable, circumstances that you'd just rather not be in. And nonetheless, this is happening, and you get to actually honor the moment and honor all of it, including not just the challenge, but what's coming from that. I'm actually going to apply this. You might be in this right now, but you might have to retroactively go back in your history to locate those times. And we're looking at all those junctures in which there was those little snippets, maybe long snippets of unity, of easefulness, of like, we're all in this together. And it's not about any one of us, other than maybe the person who's passing. Or in ill health and imminently going through something pretty big. And it's almost like there's this underlying unifying message of a presence, because you've gathered. You're here. And just in simple presence, just in becoming home to the now. It's a way of entering love in a way that may be not traditionally granted as love or recognized, excuse me, as love. But I invite you to recognize it as such now. The moments in which we're still connected and family. And we might even be able to feel that at a distance. We might even be able to cultivate that feeling so you can feel it not necessarily at those times in which the shit is hitting the fan, so to speak. You can actually cultivate that from a distance. It becomes almost like a reserve or a well that you can draw on when you need to in those tougher times because you've actually fortified accordingly. And then we're linking that into both knees and offering it the nourishment. We're linking it into both ankles, feet, so you have a sense of sure-footedness amongst that nourishment. And we're going to link it into the both hips to create a foundation for that nourishment. And as you let yourself be, oh, supported from the inside out by family dynamics in this creative, imaginative way, we're linking into the eighth house, house of the kidney meridian, house of also death, rebirth, and regeneration. So in a way, you may have actually on your side died to the old family dynamic pattern of, being in it and rebirthed yourself to be able to take in the parts that are actually working well for you and to leave the rest behind in a way that allows you to fortify your own system on a day-to-day basis, which creates regeneration. As you connect into your ancestral realms in ways that fortify your spirit, in ways that you fortify your soul, as you cultivate a sense of remembering the truth of who and what you really are in these small ways that build over time. Link this into the 12th house, house of the liver, house of the liver meridian, house of endings, releasing, letting go, making space. Think of this as clearing out old experiential conditioning. Think of this as cleaning out toxins around the nervous system tissue that are held more in the psycho, emotional, mental bodies. And think of this as releasing anything that's in the way of you honoring your own emotional boundaries in a way that lets you transcend those family dynamics to see them as less personal, maybe even impersonal. That's all linking into the pericardium, the external lining of that heart. As we begin to open up your heart space, this pericardium is releasing old hurts, old senses of being constricted by honoring the fights or the flights or the freeze or all the fear that was held within those family dynamics. And as you find your own way through, it's sinking into the shoulders in a good way, offering you the responsibility of being only now responsible to yourself and how it is you wish to present and show up in the world. Linking it to the elbows to give flexibility, and then finding the way again that you're carrying and expressing yourself, getting to play with that in a way that has actually more flexibility now. Down into the ankles, the feet, to be able to decide when you need to slow down and when you're ready to pick up your pace. And that's going to be completely individualistic for every single person here. That's going to change from day to day, week to week, month to month, year to year. We're going to tap this all out here. Invitation to breathe and to receive however feels right for you. Giving that a few rounds of breath, letting yourself really drink that in. And really taking that in as an invitation. I invite you to actually go for gold with that one. I wonder what it might be like to imagine that everything in life, even though it might be perceived as like a direct order or demand, what would it be like to actually just reframe it automatically for yourself as, oh, that's actually an invitation, not a direct order or a demand, even though it might seem like that. Even though it might be coming from, I don't know, like your boss or your mom or your dad or anyone that you consider to be like an authority figure. What if it's all actually, that's just an invitation, and I actually get to choose? Because I'm an adult now, and I get to choose whether I know what I want to do here. And in this small way, you actually begin to remind yourself that you have agency, that you're actually not a small child anymore. And then you don't actually have to fight so hard to prove that, like, you know the better or best way through this. And that actually diminishes some of that need for, as I've been calling it, like the arrogance. I'm pretty sure I should probably be the poster child for this session as a whole, in regards to the self. So maybe something you can relate to. But as we work with that, the sense of not having to, also within that, not having to be so hyper independent to do it on your own, which might be vulnerable. Might mean that we're opening up to other people's ways and thoughts and doing things that might be different than your own. Oh, yeah. It might even be opening up into through that connections that get to blossom, sprout, grow, flourish, where they have been previously floundering. In other words, it might just create some ease in your relationships across the board, friends, family, work. Because as we perceive things through the lens of invitation, it begins to take out any knee-jerk reactions of like, no, they're wrong, we shouldn't do it that way. And the tendency to judge, along with judge something as being not just wrong, but even to the point of if we really ramp up on this, then somebody else is misbehaving. So as we begin to play within this container, reminding ourselves that we actually get to do this invitationally. And also means we get to take it with a grain of salt, lightheartedly. We're actually going to bring in the fifth house to support that, which brings in the innocence of, ooh, little ones, of child, of creativity, of a way that we get to, just feel like the warmth of the sun and the invitation to just go like play outside. Maybe some of you have felt that with the burgeoning spring and the warm weather that in North America we're experiencing. Or in the Northern Hemisphere, pardon me, that we're experiencing. That's what I meant to say there. And all of this is linking into the navel. In a sense of being able to connect to the fact that you were actually born free. You were born completely free. And remembering that. And linking that into the tailbone to allow that to become a new foundational driver for yourselves. Then one more bit of arrogance. I actually just see it coming out of the back of the right neck. I've been waiting for the neck to come up in a more pronounced way. And the back of the right neck, these are muscles that can be associated with autonomy or getting to have a sense of like, I'm choosing this. And unless I'm being directed to this, this is what's going to happen just because I know that's what's going to happen. And being beholden to the history. Versus getting to actually go, like, yeah, that's traditionally what has happened. And what if I actually just don't know what's going to happen? What if I actually get to experiment and just see what's happening here? Which might mean releasing some of the protective knee-jerk reactions of predicting this is what's going to unfold and this is how it's going to be. So we invite you to surrender that as we link it through to the large intestine. Through to the large intestine to release, to let go, to make space, to allow. And again, it's an invitation. It's an invitation. As is everything in all these sessions. And I see that linking into all 12 houses. Really cool. See that completing through the cycle of beginnings. Through to all the different things that happen all the way until we get to the endings. I won't talk about all 12 of them, but it's working with that whole progression, that whole cycle. And I see it playing out through the cycles of the seasons. And there's carrying us this general sense of like completion, general sense of like, oh yeah, through this new way of doing things, we can actually like complete things. We can actually close the loop. We can end patterns. We can end behaviors. We can end dynamics. We can end this way of being and find a different way through. I'm gonna invite you to breathe that in. We're gonna tap this out here. And as I'm tapping out, I just see like the left knee go like, oh, I don't actually have to stand my ground in the same way. And I see the back of the right neck go, yeah, there's new possibilities, and I can look over towards my right, towards my future. And the feminine, the right brain, surrenders her history as she begins to see new possibilities. giving that a round of breath. Okay, I got a song. It's a little upbeat, so I hope it meets the mood at this juncture or helps to transmute whatever's here for you. And if you feel some moves, as we've been sort of starting off with movement, or my little bit where I went on a diatribe about movement, I'm going to invite you to move, but I'm going to invite us to keep our cameras off on purpose. So I'm going to invite you to let yourself move and groove as much or as little as you feel called to. That might mean that you're just taking it all in. And it's by Delmar Rodrigo Gallarda. The song is from the same name as the album, El Aguila. So I invite you to breathe and enjoy.
Vive buscando la mejor historia para vivir. Dentro de esas historias están las profecías que culminan una historia para comenzar otra historia.
Ahí va la serpiente cruzando los cerros, arriba en la montaña el puma ya está. Alto en el cielo el águila y su vuelo, guaira, curipailo, mapu, pachamama.
Thank you for calling this medicine in, and thank you for being here exactly as you are. Om Shanti Shanti Shanti. Peace, peace, peace. Blessings on the rest of your day and your week ahead, and we'll see you next week. You're most welcome, everybody. Blossoms and crocuses, indeed. Blossoms of crocuses, got it, I already read that better. Yeah. So beautiful. I'm so happy to be here today with you all. And if there's any extra support I can offer anybody, feel free to let me know. I'm going to stop the recording here.